God does not grow faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint. God strengthens the powerless. So it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power and wisdom of God. Welcome to this service of worship on this seventh and last Sunday of Easter and 1 week before Pentecost. A warm welcome to all of you who are guests with us today. Your presence is a blessing. And after our worship, we invite you to join us for coffee and fellowship in South Hall and to attend any of our Sunday school classes are listed on page 4 of the bulletin. And if you have need to find your way in our building, feel free to ask any of us. And also a word of welcome to all those of you who are joining us today by way of radio or television or internet. Jesus is there with you, as also with us. The call to worship is on page 1 of our bulletin. Let's join in that. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Cristo ha resucitado. We watch this morning for the fire that was in the beginning and burns bright in every living creature. Jesus tells us, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. Receiverás poder. The Lord is King. Let's rejoice with hymn number 288 in the blue hymnal.
288 in the hymnal worship book. And I invite you to stand as you are able.
Thank you.
Continuing our praise, turn in your green Sing the Journey book to number 8, Somos Pueblo de Camino. We will sing it exactly as written, Spanish, Spanish, English, English, and the refrain, Spanish, English.
This time I'd like to invite Michael Aspinwall and Savannah Friesen forward. As children and youth grow, we as a congregation join them and their families in celebrating various milestones in life. Today we recognize two unique youth in our congregation for their academic accomplishments and bless them as they enter a new phase of life. There's information about each of these young adults in the bulletin. Sam and Megan Miller have been amazing Sunday school teachers for the MYF for the past 4 years, and Megan will be helping me with this recognition this morning.
Savannah and Michael, today we join you in celebrating your completion of high school and college and recognize that you are in a time of gaining independence as you come to the end of your teenage years. God has been at work in you as you have grown and developed academically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Today as a church, we recognize and thank God for the unique glimpses of God's image that we see in each of you.
We have watched you grow and mature, and we are excited for the continued development that God has for you. We all care deeply about you, and we want to be your biggest fans as you begin this new phase of your life. As a token of recognizing who you are and who you are becoming, we want to present you with your own copy of a blue hymnal, a worship book. It is one of our congregation's sources of songs and prayers of God's faithfulness throughout many generations. It helps direct our attention to God in times of joy and sorrow. As each of you starts new adventures, wherever they may be, we hope that this hymnal continues to be a source of direction and guidance as you seek God in all of life. Savannah and Michael, please receive these hymnals as our gift to you. I'm going to invite the two of you to make your way down to the circle. And we, those of you who would like to gather around Savannah and Michael in prayer, please come to the circle. Following the service, everyone can meet and greet them and congratulate them in the south hallway. The hymnals are a gift from all of us to them, so all of you are invited to mark your favorite hymn or hymns in their hymnals. Look for your favorite hymn and sign your name in the margins of their hymnals. Others of you in the congregation that are not here in the circle, please feel free to extend your hands forward to them. Michael and Savannah, we recognize that graduation signifies a letting go, and you are becoming independent young adults. And in many ways, it's time for you to leave the nest. Look around you at the people surrounding you. These are the people of God that God has given to you. This is the body of Christ that will continually love you and support you. Loving, nurturing God, we thank you for the gift of life that we have known through Savannah and Michael. God, as they look ahead and only see the broad outline of what their future holds, may they see you and find you in the details as you shape them to be who you created them to be. We commit them to your care, O God. May they go in confidence that nothing can separate them from your love. And give them generous hearts to share your love with others. We pray all of this together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in our prayers. O God of truth and love, Creator and King of the universe, Savior in Christ Jesus, Spirit of power, your kingdom cannot fail, and we do lift our hearts in praise. We give thanks for the risen Christ in whom you have liberated us from bondage, reconciled us to yourself, and empowered us to be the body of Christ. Thank you for the signs of your kingdom among us here at College Mennonite. Souls are being saved. Gifts of the Spirit are giving grace. Bridges among diverse cultures are being spanned, and there is a network of love in action. Thank you, God, for these signs. Thank you, too, O Lord, for our sister Pamela, who said yes to serving another term of ministry with us. Thank you for her rich combination of gifts and character. In her care, we have received your care. In her love, your love. As she moves into this next term of ministry, we pray that she may flourish in the power of your Holy Spirit and in the support of all of us as we work together to care for one another. We hold those among us whose bodies call for special care. Leela Suter, who is not feeling well and is struggling with weakness. Liz Jacobs in rehab as she seeks to regain strength and further direction for treatment. And Don Spillman, who continues in rehab. Oh God, help them to see signs daily of your presence and strength. God, we pray for homes, for those in our community who do not have homes. But more than this, O God, we pray for ourselves, for compassion, wisdom, and courage to put our faith and love into creative action for these, our neighbors. Today, we intercede for the families and friends of the 12 persons who were killed in the recent shooting in Virginia Beach. God, we hold them to you for their families to you for your mercy. We know that you are Lord of history, but we also confess a sense of helplessness as this disease of violence infecting our culture seems to grow worse. God, we cry out. We cry out for your healing, for empathy, for compassion, for love of neighbor, for living the golden rule. God, have mercy. In all our activities this morning, O Lord, keep us mindful of the preciousness of one another and the sacredness of each interaction. And as we gather this afternoon for our congregational meeting, grant us wisdom so that we might joyfully offer all you have given us toward the goals of your kingdom. God, we are on a journey with you, and pain is with us. So we bring to you our pains, the yearnings of our hearts, what keeps us awake at nights, what distracts us, what tests our faith and love. We offer these to you now in silence. We ask you to heal, forgive, cleanse, illuminate, reassure, empower, guide. In Jesus' name, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Children, as we sing the next hymn, we invite you to, instead of coming forward to the circle as you usually do, to follow Sarah, who's waving her hand, out to the Memorial Gardens where she will meet with you, and we invite a parent or another adult to accompany each child, if you would, please.
In your hymnal worship book, number 614, in the bulb there is a flower.
Thank you. Hi, children. Thank you for coming all the way outside so that we could have children's time out here. We found a dragonfly. We brought you outside because we have something special planned, but I want to show you something first. Look what I have here. In the bulb, there is a flower. Isn't that amazing? From this dry, crusty, brown, dead-looking thing, if it's in the right conditions, you start to get some green that comes out of it, and you end up with this beautiful butterfly, with this beautiful flower. God had an amazing plan for the flowers. In the seed, an apple tree. Do you see my seeds on here? I had to tape them onto a piece of paper so you could see them, those teeny tiny apple seeds. When you plant them in the ground and they grow, they become big, beautiful trees that give us delicious fruit, like this apple. God had an amazing plan for the trees. In cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free. It's unbelievable. The past couple of weeks, we've been watching our friends, the caterpillars. And they started out as those little bitty caterpillars, and they grew bigger. And they were eating. And when they were ready, they made a home around themselves called a cocoon. And they went inside and they waited.
And I had butterflies at my school.
And when it was time, out came a beautiful butterfly. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Easter season. You guys have seen some of these things at school. Do you remember back at the beginning of April, we talked about the story of Jesus? We talked about how Jesus was arrested. And Jesus was beaten. And Jesus was crucified. Jesus was killed on a cross. But thankfully for us, that wasn't the end of the story. Because if you remember, when we came on Easter morning, we celebrated that the tomb was empty. And Jesus was risen. God had an amazing plan for his son Jesus. In a death, a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. So I want you to remember that in the same way that God has a plan for the flowers, and God has a plan for the trees, and God has a plan for the butterflies, God also has a plan for you. And there may be times that we don't understand the plan, but I want you to know that our God is bigger and more powerful than anything that we might be afraid of. So, we are going to pray together, and then with your help, our friends, the butterflies, are going to be set free. But we're going to pray first.
I know it was the butterflies.
Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for your creative and amazing power. We thank you that you have a plan for all of creation. From the flowers to the trees to the animals to your son Jesus and to us. Help the butterflies be a reminder to us that you have a plan for all of us and that you are bigger and more powerful than anything we might be afraid of. Amen. So come with me, friends. We're going to let the butterflies out.
I want to eat them.
Can you bend down, though, so we can see here?
Eat them.
How do they get way up?
You know, the butterflies won't really fly out right away.
So we're going to have to give them a little bit of room. There's one. We're gonna watch, friends.
Let me see.
Don't touch it. I could ruin the wings.
Look what Pamela has.
See, there's three.
Don't touch them. There's three.
Actually, you kind
All right, you may go grab your worship bags. The worship bags are over here by this door. You can grab those as you go back and sit down. And Pamela has something for you as well. Pamela has something for you as well, and you may grab your worship bags.
In your Sing the Journey, we're going to sing Over My Head, I Hear Music in the Air, and there will be lyrics up on the screen.
Amen. There is a God somewhere, here, right now. Our servant of the word this morning is Phil Waite, the leader of our pastoral team. Phil, pray for you. Oh God, thank you for our brother Phil and for his gifts. God, your spirit has been upon him as he has immersed himself in your word this past week while he has attended to all the other parts of his pastoral ministry. God, may your power be upon him as he opens the scripture for us this morning and upon us so that we may hear and heed your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. The great prophet and character from the Toy Story movies, Buzz Lightyear, proclaimed to infinity and... Hey, very good. I didn't know how many beyonds I'd get there. To infinity and beyond. It's an iconic phrase. Actually, I didn't know this until I researched this. Isn't that a great thing about writing sermons is you get to research Buzz Lightyear? I researched this and found out that the phrase to infinity and beyond was the title of a book by a mathematician that was written 4 years before the first Toy Story movie came out. So, did you know that? I didn't know that. That's just a sort of a stray fact that I found somewhat intriguing, but it reveals to us that statement, to infinity and beyond, has a little more substance to it than maybe we might think, given the source, Buzz Lightyear. And all. Infinity is a concept that we human beings, we mortals, struggle to grasp. And the best that we can do is to think of infinity as endlessness, as a kind of going on forever. In a similar kind of way, eternity is a kind of endless time, if you will, or endless space. In Christian thought, however, infinity or eternity are more in line with Buzz Lightyear's beyond infinity. That is, timelessness and spacelessness. A place, if you will, if we can even use that word appropriately, where time and space, as we experience them, do not exist. We have no language for this, really. I'm grasping here to try to explain this. Because we measure everything in time and space. We have moments and we have seconds and we have hours and minutes and days and weeks and years and decades and centuries and millennia. We measure our events in the English language. This is not true of every language, but in the English language, we take great care to describe events in time sequentially. to place them. Did they happen? Will they happen in the future? Did they happen in the past? Are they happening in the present? Did one happen before the other? Placing things in time is extremely important to us. Time and measuring time is the way that we think. And the same is true of space. We have inches. Hail, for example, an inch and a quarter in diameter. There's a measurement I heard. Space, it's a spatial measurement. I don't know why I was thinking about hail. It just came to my mind. We have feet. We have yards. We have miles. We have meters and centimeters and millimeters and kilometers. We have light years, a measure of both time and space together. We cannot think outside of the parameters, the boundaries of time and space. Yet, in Christian thought, we believe that God dwells in eternity. And what we mean when we say that is we mean beyond. We mean an existence that is not bound by time and space. So when I hear someone say, boy, living forever in heaven seems like a really boring thing to do, I just hear somebody who doesn't get it. Forever is a measurement of time. In heaven, there is no time. We can't explain it, we can't understand it, but yet we know it's true. And of course, Einstein, 1700 years after Augustine, was able, using mathematical formula, to begin to help us understand that. Now, most of us aren't experts in quantum physics. But the fact is, for us as Christians, God dwells in eternity, a place, an existence not bound by time and space. Jesus, when he walked this earth, was a human being, like us, bound by time and space. He walked steps. He walked kilometers. He walked miles. He measured his days and his hours and his moments and his years. In the Tenebrae service at Good Friday, we toll the bell 33 times, marking the years, the time that Jesus was on this earth. Following his resurrection, we mark 40 days from Easter to Ascension Day, which was observed this last Thursday on our Christian calendar. Time. Yet when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left this world, his mortal physical body, his body of time and space, left this world, the world of time and space, and entered eternity. A profound event, not just for him, but for us. Jesus lives and reigns with the Holy Spirit, a body like ours, yet no longer bound in the ways that ours are by time and space. Thanks be to God. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going to have to go away. And where I'm going, you can't go, Jesus said. But I have to go, and the reason that I have to go is so that I can send you the paraclete. The word, the Greek word is the paraclete, the one who walks alongside, the advocate, the comforter, the helper. This word has been translated many ways and refers to, in Christian tradition, the Holy Spirit. I have to go to eternity, to that realm not bound by time and space, so that I may send you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus ascends to heaven and promises to send the Holy Spirit and promises to be with his disciples wherever they are, because Jesus is no longer bound by time and space. He can be in all places and all times, dwelling as he does in eternity. And Jesus, being in eternity, being in heaven, can send from heaven the Holy Spirit to empower the church. And so Jesus says, You shall receive power. Poder. It's a hard word for a lot of Mennonites, power. It's a hard word for a lot of people, power. In our society, the usage of this word is so often used in the language of a power struggle. That is, the will of one person brought to bear on the will of another person, and because one is stronger than the other, the will of the one person is imposed on the other. That's the way we think of power. Our politics in our world is largely power politics. One group of people gets together and tries to impose their will on the other group of people. And they have all kinds of ways to work at this. Power. But when Jesus says, I'm going to send you power, Jesus is thinking about something different. We have to reframe the way that we think about power. In our world today, often we despair. Do we not? We despair. All the problems. Everybody grumbles and everybody complains, and people are depressed, and people are worried, and people are troubled, and burdens are heavy. And this is true for us often in our individual lives, the things that we experience in our lives, but also true in our public life. You read the newspapers, you listen to the news, you get on the internet, like many of us do, and it's problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. Climate change. Storms will be getting to be more frequent and severe. That's interesting. Rain events will be heavier. Precipitation events will be heavier. It's a problem. Income inequality. Did you know that if you are average, if you are average, if you have average net worth, just average, you are wealthier than 90% of the people in this country. Think about that. If you have average net worth, because wealth is concentrated so high in the very top, 1% or 1/10 of 1%, that to be average makes you wealthier than 90% of the people. Ponder that. It's an extreme problem. It's a divisive problem. Our politics are divisive. We don't agree on anything. We're squabbling. We have these news outlets that promote a kind of tribal reality where people almost for entertainment disagree with each other. How bizarre is that? We have shootings, mass shootings, time and time and time and time again. We have an opioid crisis. Boy, that's hard to say. An opioid crisis in our country. Immigration. People who are trying to find a safe place to live. Problem after problem after problem after problem. And I have come to the place where when somebody asks me, "Boy, we have this problem," I don't know what the answer is. And I say, "I do. Church." Well, what's the problem about, what's the answer to that problem? Church. What's the answer to that problem? Climate change, income inequality. On and on and on and on and on. The answer is church. Now, you may say, "Preacher, that's a pretty self-serving thing for a preacher to say." And that's true. It kind of is self-serving. But hear me out. Listen to me. The problems that we face come about because largely of a failure of community. We do not get together. The problems come about because all of us are segregating ourselves based largely on socioeconomic status or racial, cultural identity. And so we congregate in these groups of people that close out other people. So when all the rich people get together and form their own little close-knit community and close out all the other people, that helps lead to income inequality. And the only way to break that out is if people have a varying socioeconomic status, if people have meaningful relationships with those who are different than they are. Meaningful, equal relationships. And where can that happen? The church is the answer to that problem. Climate change. One of the first things that we have to do, Catherine Hayhoe at the Religion and Science Conference here on this very stage said, one of the most important things we have to do is have conversations. We have to talk about the issue. And something holy happened at our last climate creation care retreat at Camp Friedenswald. We began to talk across generations, different people sharing experiences, sharing stories, building a sense of hope, a sense of agency that we can do something. But we have to have a conversation. It happens here. Corey Martin, I heard the chaplain at the Elkhart County Jail, I heard him say this week that if everyone who was struggling with mental health issues and everyone who was struggling with drug addictions was taken out of the Elkhart County Jail, he said there might be 12 people incarcerated. You know what the answer to that is? That wasn't very confident. And I'm not going to force it. But I'm confident. Church! I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm not afraid to shout it. Relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit is the answer. Now, the Holy Spirit likes relationships. The Holy Spirit likes to be where there are communities of believers. And that's where the power is made known most profoundly. In the context of a Christian community. Now, I have a high view of the church. Mennonites have a high view of the church. We are a low church tradition. Often this is said of us, that we have a low church tradition. But we have a high ecclesiology. That is, we believe in the power of the church as God's people. Deeply. We believe in the authority of the church. We believe that God can, through the church, as the body of Christ, make a difference in the world. I want you to hear this. This is from the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite perspective. We believe that the church is the assembly of those who have accepted God's offer of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's us. It is the new community of disciples sent into the world to proclaim the reign of God and to provide a foretaste of the church's glorious hope. It is the new society established and sustained by the Holy Spirit. That says to me that in our tradition, we believe that the answer to the problems facing the world is
church.
Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Heaven is, we're going to say a little bit, Dirk, so we'll say it together, but I want to go through it. Heaven is eternity. Heaven is not bound by time and space. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. In this space, in this place, in this realm, this existence that is bound by time and space, let it be done as it is in that existence that's not bound by time and space. Let's say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Deviating from your bulletin, I invite you to turn in Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 71. And we will sing of the transforming power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. Alleluia, the great storm is over.
like to invite Gladier and John King, where are you, to come forward at this time for our God at Work time. I want to introduce Gladier. Gladier Dalton is from our sister congregation in New Orleans, Faith Temple Church of God. It's my privilege to introduce Gladier and ask for greetings. Gladier, it's good to see you. Blessings to you. Thank you.
Good morning. My sisters and brothers, just want to remind you that I am your sister.
Amen.
Not your friend. I'm your sister, and I'm bringing you greetings from your other church, Faith Temple Church of God, the Holy Ghost Center in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is always such a pleasure for me to come to College Mennonite and look around and see the faces of my brothers and sisters. A long time ago, I didn't know I had other brothers and sisters. I thought I had just a few, and then God showed me something different. He said, you have many. And he brought me here, and when I walked into this edifice, I knew, yes, I have many, because I felt you, I felt your hearts, and I know you felt me, because you showed me that you felt me. And I want to say the message was so perfect this morning, a wonderful message. I hope you caught it. I hope you did. Because if you did, then you caught me too. Be blessed in Christ. I love every one of you, and I hope to fellowship with you after church. Amen.
Thank you, Gladier. Welcome back. I've been asked by the Administration Commission, of which I'm a member, to announce the status of our funding for CMC Ministries Fund year to date, with 1 month remaining this month of June. The Administration Commission members are Carol Ebersole, who chairs the committee, Merlin Becker-Hoover, Dave Weaver, Mike Landis, Sam Yoder, and Tina Hartman and Scott Littweiler. So we're 88% of the way, 11 months into our fiscal year, towards our goal of $1,063,275. So thanks so much for your generous support so far this year. We are very grateful. So we're about $127,725 shy of our congregation approved budget, with 5 Sundays, including today, Sundays yet in the month of June, to meet this goal. Average Sunday offerings throughout the year average about $18,000 a Sunday. So with these Sundays remaining in the month of June, we need to have about weekly, about $25,000 to meet this goal. So we all have heard of First Fruits Giving. Let me tell you about Last Fruits Giving. This is my idea of Last Fruits Giving. Last Fruits Giving means if we do not meet this goal by 5 or 10%, Phil Waite will be forced to increase his sermon times by 10%. To extol the virtues of the joy of giving. Or we could pass the offering plate around, just keep passing it around, multiple times per Sunday. Some churches have been known to pass the plate around 10 times in one Sunday. So I'd like to share just quickly some of the previous year's appeals in the letters that have come out to us from Phil and Joe Springer and Max Mertz before that. I want to read some of the language there. Sharing of our resources is important at College Mennonite Church. Monetary resources make CMC Ministries possible. Our financial gifts allow us to continue to engage our community through our hospitality, priority. This is something we do together. Mennonites often invoke the priesthood of all believers, a phrase from Martin Luther. This means we are all priests and collectively we are a priesthood. Together we mediate God's presence, God's love to each other and to the world. We bring all our gifts and resources to bear on this holy task, including our financial resources. So as we approach the end of this fiscal year on June 30, we invite you to give to the CMC Ministries Fund, which funds CMC Ministries. College Mennonite Church is actively engaged in God's work in our community and beyond. So whether you're near or far in this building or on the radio or by video, please consider an additional gift to the College Mennonite Church before June 30. Your gift does make a difference. It allows us to continue the work God has called us of being a hospitable congregation in our community to the world. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Phil preaches a sermon, but you preach too. Let's answer God's generosity with joy, joyful giving today. Today is the first Sunday of the month of June, and we invite those of you who have birthdays in June to come and receive a blessing, whether or not you offer a special birthday offering. Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have raised Jesus from the dead. We give you thanks that he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in eternity. We thank you that Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit, that we have received power, that you empower us to do your will in this time and in this space. We ask that you bless us. You bless our gifts. You bless this offering, yes, and all our gifts towards your good purposes. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Our sending hymn, number 285 in the hymnal worship book.
Just a brief announcement for the children. Please place your worship bags in the hall. The bins are in the hall out here. Place them there. You won't find them here.
285 in the hymnal worship book, verses 1 and 3.
Go and together glorify God, who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.